ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 27th of January, year of our Lord 2026. Well, we have Greg Bovine is being put out to pasture. Christy Noem is circling the drain, reportedly. So there is some good news. I think the issue is that Trump jumped the shark when they started attacking the Second Amendment. When they started saying that anybody who carries a gun is dangerous and shouldn't expect to be killed. This is the Trump administration's position. The guy who said, we'll take the gun and do the due process later. We'll take the life and we won't do an investigation later either. But we're also going to take a look at his Board of Peace. This is very important because this shows you what the father of the bioweapon would have created if he was one of our founding fathers. It is his idea of government, and not just any government, global government. If you don't understand that Trump is a globalist, that Trump wants to be Caesar, you need to pay attention to this show. We're going to lay it out for you. And we have gold hit 5,100 plus yesterday, silver over $100. There is a silver and gold lining to all of this Trump chaos. We'll be right back. And let's talk about the money here. I touched on this briefly yesterday. We talked about the $5 billion that the GOP is putting in this mini omnibus bill that they've added. $5 billion more for the refugee program. And as I said, the Somalis did not come across the Mexican border. They didn't come over around the wall. They came as refugees. This is a program that began in the 1990s under the Clinton administration. And it has been supported bipartisan. George W. Bush supported it, Obama supported it, Trump, Biden, now Trump again. And in a big way, if you look at the trend of this, when it first got started, it was very small. But that's not the way things go in Washington. By the time you got to 2021, it was $2 billion that they were giving these people coming from places like Somalia. When you go the next year, they doubled it. Biden doubled it, went to $4 trillion. And then the last 3 years, 2023, 2024, 2025, it's been $6 trillion. Now, Trump and the Republicans want to increase it by 80%, add an additional $5 billion to it. Now, this is as we are rushing towards the $40 trillion government deficit. But I think it says something in terms of why are they adding so much all at once to a refugee program? Are they expecting to bring in the Ukrainian mafia next? We've had the Somalia mafia, the Al-Shabaab people. They were brought in, given loads of cash. And this is over and above and in addition to the scams that they started creating in terms of food programs and daycare and things like that. This is just money that they gave them to get them started. And why Minnesota? Why do we have 80,000 plus Somalians in Minnesota, most of them in this particular city? Well, it turns out that they're telling us that they went there because there was already an infrastructure to hand out this money. What infrastructure? Well, it was Catholic charities and Lutheran charities. They were handing this stuff out, which is why Rand Paul said, look, if you want to bring people in and you want to help them, you do it. What happened to the Catholic and Lutheran churches that they don't want to help these people that they say need to be helped? They demand that the taxpayer pay it because the taxpayer is going to be paying them. They set themselves up as a bureaucracy to take a cut. Self-serving, not serving their fellow man. And so this is why this is all happening in Minnesota. As I said for the longest time, all the corruption with these Somali gangs about the welfare fraud, about the daycare fraud, the food fraud, and all the rest of the stuff, that's been going on since 2018. It's been known. I reported it back in 2018. Trump ignored it. Biden ignored it. And Trump continued to ignore it as he was ramping up these ICE operations everywhere. He continued to ignore it until you had the viral report from that one individual. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name right now. But he goes around and he drew attention to it, went very viral. So, okay, now we're going to focus on that. After like 9 months of ICE and Border Patrol being out in the streets attacking people, and they don't need to attack people to get rid of the Somali fraud. That's the other thing. When I see these Trump trolls coming after us, when we talk about the over-the-top actions of Border Patrol and ICE, they say, well, you know, you want Somalis here, don't you? No, of course not. Get out of your Hegelian two-step dance. I have no patience for people. Well, it's either this or that. It's like, no, I'm not going to accept either one of your false premises as solutions. Now, the reality is that Border Patrol's actions going door-to-door, having no-knock raids, dragging an elderly man who's been a citizen, peacefully living here, law-abiding citizen for 30-plus years, dragging him out in 10-degree weather in his underwear, driving him around for an hour because they haven't a clue who they're coming after, because they don't have a search warrant, they don't have an arrest warrant, they don't have any ID on this guy. They backfilled and said, well, you know, he's connected to these other two. Family said, we don't know who they are. They've never lived with us. We have no idea who these people are. And even if they weren't telling the truth, I think they're telling the truth. But even if they weren't, how did the ICE agents mistake a guy who is 60-something for these suspects who look like they're in their 20s? Keystone cops. And so these types of things and the murders that you see them engaged in, that doesn't have anything to do with the Somali fraud. There needs to be auditors. There needs to be investigations. Bring in the accountants and the lawyers. That's how they got Al Capone. It wasn't the Untouchables that did it. And these guys act like they're the Untouchables. We can do whatever we wish, right? So we don't need untouchable law enforcement. What we need are some accountants and some lawyers to take down this fraud. And they're not going to do that. They're not even starting to do that. So take this Somali stuff off the table when it comes to what ICE is doing. Separate issues altogether. They have nothing to do with each other. That's why I say, you know, be very careful when the government creates a problem, an open border, which continued under Trump. Remember, we didn't have the caravans until the first Trump administration. As I said before, your first few months, border crossings dropped to zero. They thought he was going to do something about it. They thought he was going to get tough because of all the tough talk. Then when they realized that he wasn't going to do anything about it, it was all just talk. Then you had the caravans organized, and he didn't do anything about them. And then it got much worse under Biden. And now after they built up this problem, they present you with an authoritarian police state solution. And you better go along with it. Or if you don't, you're part of the problem. Now, these people created the problem. And the fact that they've got billions of dollars to bring in people that are identified as refugees, that's fine. There are real refugees out there. However, if people want to bring them in, let people sponsor them instead of the taxpayers. And now they want to ramp this up by 80%? Come on. This is just fraud in another way. Well, let's take a look before we get into gold and silver. It truly is amazing what has happened to gold and silver. That is the silver and gold lining of the Trump administration. So grab a hold of some of that stuff, because things aren't going to change in the Trump administration. He's very bad for the economy. He's very bad for liberty. He's very bad for peace. And all those things, as well as the dollar, the harder they squeeze people with the dollar, the more people move away from it. And he's still doing that. He's still weaponizing the financial system that has been the basis of the American empire. He is doing the same thing that Biden did. And they're driving everybody in the world away from the U.S. dollar in droves.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And that's why you see what is happening with gold and silver. So we're going to get into that. But I want to begin with Greg Bovino, Bovine, I should say. Right? He's this cow they brought in to shovel BS at everybody. So bye-bye, Bovino. Bovine is going to pasture. And I like this. This was sent to us. This meme was sent by American House Hippo. There he is, the cow in the ICE uniform with his MRAP behind him, and it says on there, Ministry of Love. And that's exactly what it is, right? It is the Ministry of Love. It is purely Orwellian. Well, in the hours following the shooting of Alex Peretti, let's correct that. That's murder, okay? I'm reading this even from Mediaite. They won't call it what it is. It's a murder. Murder. Can you spell that, Mediaite? I mean, these people, hardcore leftist Democrats who hate Trump, and they can't call it a murder. We've seen the video from multiple angles. It was another murder. Let's call it what it is. You know, before this Bovine got fired, he went after the First Amendment. And he said, don't you dare call ICE Gestapo. Don't you dare call us kidnappers. I'll call you murderers, okay? He says if you do that, you're an influencer or whatever, or so-called journalist, there'll be consequences for you. And I said, come after me. Well, it turns out he's going to be coming. But this is the contempt these people in the Trump administration have for every part of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Trump doesn't want to be governed by any law. He does really want to be a dictator. And these people hate the First Amendment. They hate peaceful assembly to redress grievances. They hate that. They hate the free press. They hate free speech on social media. You know, don't you dare say that. Of course, we've got Elon Musk now tightening it down. I hadn't noticed I was already heavily shadow banned anyway. So, yeah, I always thought it was a joke that people thought that Elon Musk had bought free speech for us again. And he's going to hand it to us on a silver platter. It's like, do you not know who this guy is? Do you not know anything about technocracy and his background with that? I mean, that's the most absurd thing. That was sold to us by Babylon Bee, which, by the way, seems to really have gone down the drain itself. Their insights are hitting as flat as their comedy anymore. But anyway, let's get back to this would-be wannabe dictator saying there's going to be consequences if you call us Gestapo. There's going to be consequences if you say we're kidnappers. Well, it turns out the consequences for being a Gestapo kidnapper are you lose your job, even in the Trump administration. Because once these people started going after the Second Amendment, they started losing a lot of their hardcore supporters. People who would just go along with whatever Trump did, no matter how he defied the principles of conservatives and so forth. And even though he had shown himself to be a New York City Democrat gun grabber in the first administration by doing gun control by executive order. No other president has done that before. But immediately I said, you watch, the Democrats are going to do the same thing. And within a day or two, you had Lala Harris say, when I become president, I'm going to put out a list of gun control issues that I want. And I'm going to give Congress 100 days to pass it. And if they don't, I'll do it myself by executive order, just like Trump did. And, of course, Biden did the same thing as well. Actually, Trump put in not just the bump stock gun control executive order, but he also put in the pistol brace executive order. He put that in, and then he removed it in December of 2020 when there was a fight going on to try to stay in the White House. And then immediately, like a month later, Biden gets in, and he reinstates the Trump pistol brace ban, but that was a Trump ban. And just like what we saw this last couple of days, the NRA was silent about that massive usurpation of power into the executive branch, into the ATF. Silent about it. That's the NRA. Gun Owners of America fought it. And Gun Owners of America fought these notions that you shouldn't bring a gun to a protest. I think that it's probably a good idea that you're not the only person at a protest with a gun, because then that makes you a target. And we saw that, as I pointed out yesterday, at the Alamo. We had hundreds of people showed up to push for open carry in the state of Texas before they had constitutional open carry in Texas. And so a lot of people showed up. Most of them were carrying a slung rifle over their shoulder, which was already legal, but they wanted more constitutional carry.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
America's Social Casino.
And the police left everybody alone until most of the people cleared out. And then when there's just a couple of people around, they came after them. And that's what will happen if you're the only one who shows up at a demonstration. But if everybody is armed, that is the best possible scenario, folks. Because the Second Amendment is like nuclear weapons. Mutual assured destruction. That's the value of the Second Amendment. It isn't that we want to have an asymmetric guerrilla war. But it's the threat that that could happen that restrains government. Nobody wants that, just like nobody wants a nuclear war. But these things can restrict behavior. It's a dangerous situation. It's a dangerous situation when we've got a government like the one that we've got here. So, anyway, he was actually smarter than Kristi Noem, I thought. Bovino. Because rather than just making up ridiculously absurd lies like Kristi Noem and Donald Trump, oh yeah, he was, they were stuck in the snow, and as they were stuck in the snow, this woman tried to kill him with a car. We can all see that wasn't true. She didn't even bother to look at the video. She's that stupid, that contemptuous of your intelligence, that she wouldn't even try to concoct a plausible lie. And she's not doing it this time either. Instead, Greg Bovino was evasive, which is a better approach rather than just making stuff up like Trump. Yeah, he was run over. It's amazing that he was survived. And then they had to come up with a cover story saying that he was taken to the hospital, that he had internal bleeding in his torso. That's a clear medical diagnosis, isn't it? As people point out, if you've got internal bleeding, they're not going to let you out after a couple of hours. They're going to keep you overnight for observation. Everything about that was an obvious lie. And then they started lying about the Second Amendment. Well, when you look at what happened yesterday, Bovino went on offense on social media. And like so many people before him, he got fired because of what he said on social media. He started attacking Republicans who were criticizing the tactics and the operation. He came after Bill Cassidy. He came after Bill Kristol. He came after Thomas Massie. And he was saying things like, illegal aliens and people like you who choose them over American citizens are the problem. And attacking law enforcement is not a right that you want it to be. Well, this is not about attacking law enforcement. This is about quote-unquote law enforcement, who's never bothered to read the Constitution, or if they read it, they don't understand it and won't follow it. They have been attacking people who are filming them as they walk about in masks and, in many cases, civilian clothing, doing whatever they please. Bullies and thugs walking up to people, threatening them to their face because they're filming. And we've had Supreme Court decisions that have supported that that is your right. Whether or not the Supreme Court says it is, that is our right. They film us all the time in public areas, and they not only film us, but they dox us. They put us into databases. They profile us. They profile our cars on these flock cameras. Oh, well, it's not government. It's a private corporation that's doing it for government. Folks, that's just fascism. Fascism, economic definition of fascism, is a merger of corporations and state. And that's what we're seeing here in terms of law enforcement. It truly is fascistic in terms of its brutal, its brutality, the beatings and all the rest of the stuff, but also in terms of the connection between corporations and government. And so they film us all the time, but don't you dare film them, because they'll get in your face, they'll shove you, hoping that you will shove them back so they can gang up on you and beat you and put you on the ground, maybe even kill you like they did Alex Pretty. Just take a look at this. This is a guy who is standing on his front porch as ICE is going crazy in the streets. And they run up to his front porch and threaten him.
They're sitting here raiding the motherfucking house.
Hey, you ain't supposed to smack him like that. The fuck is wrong with you? Hell no, man. I'm on my property. I ain't got to listen to you. Hey, you ain't got a search warrant. You can't come over here, man. Hey, look, I got you all
trespass
right now. I'm on my private property.
They don't care about law.
Oh, no, no.
They don't care about Constitution. Yeah, Yeah. You have no rights. They have the rights. And they have the right to kill you. Whether or not they are under threat, all they have to do is say, well, I felt threatened. I can kill you. And if you run from them, they can kill you as well. Because you're afraid of them. If you're genuinely afraid of them for good reason and you run from them, they can kill you with that as well. And so this is attacking citizens for filming them. And, of course, they call us civilians. These people who call you civilians, folks, understand they see themselves as militarized police. They see themselves as military, so you are a civilian. They're federalized, militarized, police state cops. And it needs to be stopped. They're Gestapo. You hear that, Greg? Gestapo, that's what you are. Hasta la vista, Gestapo. And the attitude that has come from the top down, from this bovine character, is demonstrated by this.
Do you want to know what the ICE officer said right after he shot and killed somebody in the street? Boo-hoo. He said boo-hoo. And that's according to the Associated Press. I can't believe this is our country.
Yeah, well, it's not just that. Take a look at this video. Lots of videos out there. That's what they don't like. They really hate a bunch of citizens who are armed with cameras. What does that tell you? They know what they're doing. And look at this. This is as the shooting is happening. You got a guy who, an ICE, who is clapping about them shooting a guy that they have pinned to the ground, beaten, and removed his gun, and then they shoot him 10 times. Mostly in the back. Watch this guy who claps. Yeah, good. Now we're going to show it closer here. Watch this. Yeah, yeah. Get the guns shot. Yeah, good job. Good job. You killed him. That's it. Okay. And then, of course, this is what Bovine said. In terms of threatening free speech.
Calling law enforcement names like Gestapo or using the term kidnapping. That is a choice that is made. There are actions and consequences that come from those choices. And then when you choose, when someone chooses to listen to a politician, a so-called journalist, a community leader that spouted that type of vilification, and there are
an accessory to murder.
Actions there also. I think we saw that yesterday.
Yeah. This guy who is a murderer, an accessory to murder. And he's, one of the things he put out, he says, deport the illegal aliens that you let in for 4 years, as he's replying to some of the Democrats. Well, as I just said, they were let in for 4 years under Trump, which, and I think he was at the Border Patrol during that time as well. So, hey, Greg, you let them in as well. Problem, solution. Well, we got such a problem now, we got to have Nazis in here. And it used to be before Alex Jones turned, when he was still doing his police state documentaries, he exactly said that. He said, they're going to create a problem. Say, it is so big now, we have to have a martial law type. Now he's cheering for martial law. He's cheering the police state. Isn't that telling? Well, so again, you let these people in for 4 years. And now, even now, the Republican Party is going to give $5 billion, an 80% increase to the refugee program. We should not be giving any money to the welfare magnet. They're making it bigger and bigger all the time. And not just that, but the hypocrisy, the open hypocrisy of the Trump administration, in the sense that they're giving tens of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, that they cut out last March, and they quietly did it. They didn't tell anybody about it. And now they've had a vote to support that yet again. And actually, you had 80 Republicans who voted to fund abortions and the mutilation of minors with these transgender surgeries. It's not enough to stand by and to not stop this stuff. It should be illegal to have an abortion. It should be illegal to mutilate a minor and sterilize them for life.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
That should be illegal. Instead, you've got Republicans who are voting with all the Democrats. Nearly all the Democrats voted for this. So there's no difference between these two parties and these issues. And they're voting to give money to pay. Not only are they not going to stop it, they're going to have you pay for it with your taxes. That's how bad this is. And this is Republicans joining with the Democrats. They've become indistinguishable. And you've had people like Thomas Massie, and a couple of other people, Burkett here in Tennessee, has pushed back against it. And a guy in Texas, we'll get to that in a minute, said, you know, what's going on with these people? One of them said, who needs Democrats when you got Republicans like this? I would say, who needs Republicans like this? We don't need them. They're not a solution. They're indistinguishable from the other side. This is the bipartisan aspect of it. And if you don't see how this has infected both sides, they are going to drag you into a civil war over this phony tribalism. And the border is just another issue of phony tribalism. They want a police surveillance state. They want digital ID. They want money that they can shut off and shut down all the time. That's what the Genius Act was about. And we've just seen that. We've had nearly $200 million frozen and stolen out of Tether stablecoin, which is what Lucky Lutnick runs, okay? So it's not a theory. They gave themselves the power to do this in the Genius Act, and they demanded that all of these so-called stablecoins have the ability to do that. And now they just have passed yet again, well, they didn't pass, it was passed Several years ago, they passed a bill to put kill switches in cars. Thomas Massie has, for at least the second time, tried to stop that, tried to overturn it. And things have gotten worse. Many of the Democrats who voted with him the first time to overturn this kill switch are now voting to keep the kill switch. It's getting worse all the time in the Republican Party. Folks, the solution does not lie in Washington, doesn't lie in any branch of the federal government, doesn't lie in getting the right president in. The solution is not about getting a Republican Congress. The solution is not about putting people in the judiciary. The solution lies in the 10th Amendment, and this is why Trump is pushing so hard to end the 10th Amendment. it's real obvious and in your face that they're trying to shut down the First Amendment, right? There'll be consequences if you call us names we don't like. And it's real clear that they want to shut down the Second Amendment as well. But all this is about is really shutting down the Tenth Amendment. Everything that the Trump administration has been doing domestically is about consolidating power into the executive branch, not just into Washington, but into the Oval Office. It's bad enough that everything is being centralized in Washington, that every law has to be a federal law, and that every problem has to be addressed by a federal quote-unquote solution. But he wants to make it everything is under the president's control. He looks at the Federal Reserve, and it's awful. Instead of ending it, though, he wants to be the Federal Reserve. He looks at the UN, and instead of ending our involvement in the UN, he wants to be the UN himself, a one-man UN. That's what the Peace Board is about. And so where do we go from here? Well, a civil war has broken out even within these institutions that need to be abolished. ICE, Border Patrol, Homeland Security. What do we do? What do we do? Well, you know, we didn't have those organizations for a couple hundred years. This year, they're going to talk about the Declaration of Independence. We need to talk about how they have declared us as dependents and how they are ruling us and overturning not only the Declaration of Independence, but the Constitution and Bill of Rights as well. That's what we need to reflect on this year. We need a little bit of common sense, Thomas Paine style. And so right now there is a civil war because Bovino was Border Patrol and the ICE people are saying he's making us look bad. And you got a Fox reporter, Bill Malugin, who said he's spoken over half a dozen federal sources in immigration enforcement, including several in senior positions about their disappointment with the department's handling of these shootings. You know, things like, and it's not just the guys in the street. You know, that's the attitude they've caught from above, where they clap after they shoot somebody who they've disarmed and pinned to the ground. They shoot them in the back.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
And then they clap. And then when people go, "What are you doing, you bunch of murderers?" Boo-hoo. You know, that's their attitude. It's just as bad for the people in terms of the president, Kristi Noem, Greg Bovino, for them to say, there will be no investigation. We're not going to give any of this information to local law enforcement or local district attorneys. No, you can't see any of that. We're going to hide all of that, just like the Epstein files. We're going to hide all that. We'll do our own investigation. And you know from what their comments, they've already decided So they're going to give absolute immunity to these guys. There's not going to be any investigation. These so-called investigations are as phony as the commissions that government puts out every once in a while. You know, we had the JFK commission that looked at that, and they come up with this absurd thing, the magic bullet. And it's a cover-up, just like you've seen all these COVID commissions looking in the UK and other places. Well, let's take a look at what the government did. And they come out and say, you know, we did everything exactly right. They're all there to whitewash everything. And that's what these things are going to be. They're just going to be just like one of these commissions where they commit the crime and then say nothing to see here. Well, Bill Mulugan at Fox News said his sources admitted that they had grown, quote, uneasy and frustrated, unquote, with the claims and narratives pushed by DHS after Preddy's death. Well, let's understand what we're talking about here. Claims and narratives. These folks are the absurd lies that are an insult to our intelligence and the very definition of the character of people like Kristi Noem, Donald Trump, and Greg Bovino. After the killing of Good and Preddy was immediately labeled terrorist, domestic terrorists by DHS officials, including Kristi Noem, who had also told us previously that, all the lies about being stuck in the snow, and we heard the lies from Trump. Yeah, he was run over and the guy had to be hospitalized. Surprised that he even survived. And then the New York Times said, that's not what happened. Oh, yeah, it was. It's like, you haven't even seen the video, have you? Tells his assistant, get the video and let's see it. As they show the video to Trump, he's speechless because he can see that he was lied to by his subordinates. He never bothered. He never cared enough to even look at the video. And he just went with some absurd lies that some lackey told him. And so he changed the subject. He didn't try to explain it, how he could have gotten to that conclusion. He knew it was a lie, and he just changed the subject. So Bovino said it resembled a situation where an individual wanted to do maximum damage. Noem said Preddy had a weapon on him, and he wished to inflict harm on these officers, coming and brandishing like that. Well, he didn't brandish it. And, you know, how can we be absolutely positive of it? Well, we saw them take the gun out of the back of his pants. And one of them said, gun, gun. They didn't know that he had a gun up until that point. And then the person who is standing right there looking down, even though the person says gun, gun, and pulled the gun out, that person opens fire right away. I don't believe for a minute this narrative about, well, this is a SIG and they've got some issues with firing and so forth. Not all the time, right? It's just like the Trump bioweapon doesn't kill people instantly all the time. Sometimes it takes a very long time for that to happen. Sometimes you can use one of these SIGs for a very, very long time before you have some issue with that. And it didn't go off with these guys beating him, gangbanging him, and all the rest of the stuff. It didn't go off with any of that stuff. So I don't believe that that was it. That's the alibi that they're trying to come up with.
Also, I think we can just use Occam's razor here. What's more likely, a safety failure or one of the, 10 to 15 guys holding guns, pointing them at him, shot him?
That's right.
You can just look at that and say, come on, that's an obvious falsehood.
It was a Barney Fife moment. Yeah. Oh, and he had a gun. I heard somebody say he had a gun, so he just had to shoot and keep firing.
There's also the fact that if you truly believe the shooting is justified, you don't need to try to finagle this around. You don't need to try to walk around the edges. Oh, well, probably a misfire on it. You're trying to give deniability. You're trying to give an excuse.
And why not have an open investigation? Why not show people how you are the victims there? Your masked, armored, and armed agents are the victims. Why not show us that? We know exactly why they're trying to cover this up. Same reason they cover up all the COVID stuff. The same reason they won't give you their data for the climate MacGuffin. Because they're lying and they know it. Same reason they won't show you the Epstein documents. How many times do we have to see government refuse to have any investigation, refuse to show us documentation, refuse to do tests of their vaccines, anything, and then tell us, just believe us, we've already done this. And no, you can't talk about that. Don't talk about that or we're going to come after you. Specifically, I'm told, said Mulligan, that extreme frustration with DHS officials going on TV, putting out statements claiming that Alex Priddy was intending to conduct a massacre of federal agents or wanted to carry out maximum damage, even after numerous videos appeared to show that those claims are inaccurate, said Mulligan. Isn't that nice? Yeah, that's how he gets to get a job at Fox News. He uses the term inaccurate instead of a lie. I use the term lie because I can see their motivation. They are liars and murderers. These sources say that messaging from DHS officials has been catastrophic from a PR and morale perspective, as it is eroding trust and credibility. You bet. Last night after the stuff came out about Bovino, you had all these trolls on Twitter, and they start coming up on my feed. And it's like, they're saying, well, Bovino was great for morale, and everybody loved him, and, you know, we need to support him and demand that he be reinstated. Please like this post if you want him reinstated. So I retweeted that, and I said, I really wish there was a dislike button so that I could say the opposite on this. But I said, this guy needs to go. And anyway, so again, when you look at what people have said about this, we've got police chiefs talking about, held a press conference. This is before this second murder. And this is what they were saying about the reckless way that ICE was conducting itself.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Rulli, police chief of the city of Brooklyn Park. Behind me is a bunch of amazing police chiefs that are here in support of a very short but very important message that we want to share with you. What you won't hear from any of us today is rhetoric of abolish ICE or that there shouldn't be immigration enforcement. The truth is, immigration enforcement is necessary for our national security and for local security. But how it's done is extremely important. In fact, we have a long history of working exceptionally well with our federal partners, including ICE agents, and we have seen the best of them perform their job extremely well in the past. With that said, recently, as the last 2 weeks, we, as law enforcement community, have been receiving endless complaints about civil rights violations.
This is before the murders.
In our streets from U.S. citizens. What we're hearing is they're being stopped in traffic stops or on the street with no cause and being forced to demand paperwork to determine if they are here legally. As this went on over the past 2 weeks, we started hearing from our police officers the same complaints as they fell victim to this while off duty. Every one of these individuals is a person of color who has had this happen to them. In Brooklyn Park, one particular officer that shared her story with me was stopped as she passed ICE going down the roadway. When they boxed her in, they demanded her paperwork, of which she's a U.S. citizen and clearly would not have any paperwork. When she became concerned about
the Gestapo,
she was being treated, she pulled out her phone. In an attempt to record the incident, the phone was knocked out of her hands, preventing her from recording it. The officer had their guns drawn during this interaction. And after the officer became so concerned, they were forced to identify themselves as a Brooklyn Park police officer in hopes of slowing the incident and de-escalating the incident down. The agents then immediately left after hearing this, making no other comments, no other apologies, just got in their vehicles and left. I wish I could tell you that this was an isolated incident. In fact, many of the chiefs standing behind me have similar incidents with their off-duty officers. This isn't just important because it happened to off-duty police officers, but what it did do is we know that our officers know what the Constitution is, they know what right and wrong is, and they know when people are being targeted, and that's what they were. If it is happening to our officers, it pains me to think of how many of our community members are falling victim to this every day. It has to stop.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
A group of police chiefs saying, this is not the way that you conduct yourself. This is why we don't have federal police. This is why we don't have the military operating as police, or people who call themselves police who operate as military. And after the killing, the murder of Renee Good, you had this sheriff, Chris Swanson, had this to say.
What would you, and obviously this is 2020 hindsight, but how do you think you would have handled that situation with Renee Good, her car blocking the street? What do you think should have been done?
Well, if I was there, and again, you're right, it's hindsight, but I wouldn't have stood in front of the car. And you give verbal commands. If the car is turning away, my question is, what crime was committed? Protesting? I mean, you saw what happened to the George Floyd protests during the 2020 and out of Hennepin County, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We had 40 protests that summer here. We didn't arrest people that were blocking the street. We didn't arrest people who were just completely upset. This is part of the process. This is what law enforcement deals with. So I would have kept on verbal commands. You can take the context of the situation. She didn't appear to be a threat, although she's protesting. I get it. She could amp people up. It doesn't matter. That's not justification for deadly force. And then the force continuum that all law enforcement is required to follow. As escalation goes up, we go up. As it goes down, we go down. Instantaneously, the burden falls on law enforcement. And I'm going to tell you, for law enforcement out there watching that shooting, you can't take pride in what just happened. Yes, a vehicle can be used as a weapon. It wasn't used as a weapon that day. It's what the American people saw. Tires turned to the right. She's getting out. She's like, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I don't care if she was there all day. You take the things that are in context at that moment and you make a decision. Was that decision to use deadly force the best decision? I don't think the American people think that, and I certainly don't think that.
We have to make a distinction between legitimate law enforcement and legitimate actions. We don't want to have just pure anarchy in the streets. You know, the law enforcement can be good, but it has to follow rules. And so that's why you have these police chiefs in Minnesota. Why you have Sheriff Chris Swanson and others speaking out about this. A lawless police force that does whatever they wish, folks, that is the worst possible case you can have. It's worse than any gang because nobody's going to stop them. And this is why law enforcement needs to be kept local. It needs to be elected. It needs to have some kind of accountability. And there is no accountability for any of the federal police. So, yes, abolish ICE, abolish the FBI, abolish this idea that we're going to have the DEA and we're going to have these problems solved in Washington. Federal law enforcement is an abomination to our liberty, to the Constitution. These institutions need to be shut down. These functions need to be put at the local level. Law enforcement at the local level. Yes, have laws about immigration. That's fine. But let's not have any more federal police. We went for a century and a half before we had any FBI. And it's been a bureaucracy and a bureaucratic abomination ever since it was created, throughout the entire time of J. Edgar Hoover. And then take a look at Cash Patel. We've had one bad FBI director after the other. Let's get rid of the FBI. Let's get rid of Homeland Security, which is a bureaucracy of bureaucracies. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of ICE. This institution, regardless of the function that it claims, is its purpose. As I pointed out, when you got Frank Serpico, any institution, when you got bad people in it, they can be either incompetent, they can be psychologically unfit for the job, or they can be evil and vicious and deliberately malicious. In any of those cases, it's up to the institution to purge those people. And if the institution instead encircles them and embraces them because it doesn't want any criticism of its institution, folks, that is the point at which that institution needs to be abolished. And that is the case with ICE, with the IRS, with almost every one of these federal agencies. They need to be abolished. And so it's also disturbing to say, to see this. And, you know, when you look at Renee Good, what was the response of most of the people in the MAGA cult? Well, they came after her with ad hominem attacks. Oh, well, she was working with a group that got some Soros funding. She's a homosexual. And, you know, I do not defend the LGBT agenda. I do not agree with it. I think it's degenerate. I think it is something that needs to be purged. But I don't think that people need to be shot because of it. And that was the tack that they were taking while they say nothing at all about Scott Bessent. Every time something happens, oh, look, there's a Soros network there. Oh, look, Alex Preddy. Now, I see this on Zero Edge. Alex Preddy was part of a Signal group that was exchanging information about where the ICE agents were operating so people could go to film them and to blow whistles, which I heartily approve of, by the way. But they want to make that sound like some kind of a Soros conspiracy. Hey, take a look at Scott Bessent, the guy who was Soros's chief lieutenant for years. You don't have a problem with him? And you want to talk about homosexuality? You want to talk about his personal life? No, they completely ignore it. Just imagine the double standard when they go on these full-on ad hominem attacks and the double standard that is there. And then you have the attack on Preddy, who the only thing they could come up with was he was carrying a gun, which he had gone to the trouble of jumping through all their hoops to get their permission for something that is a God-given right that is protected under the Constitution. I would never, personally, I would never ask any government for permission to carry a gun. Never. Never did it in my life. I would never do it in the future. He did. He's got more respect for the government than I do. So shoot me. And that's the best they could do. And that was jumping the shark. Because that showed what really this was headed for. You know, people have talked about, well, you know, not take a gun to a protest, as Scott Bessent was saying. That was his little soundbite that he had planned when he had that interview with Jonathan Carl. And people point out, well, you know, you had that husband and wife, McCloskey, they stood there at a protest with guns. I remember the first time I saw that picture of the two of them. I thought it was Photoshopped. They were holding those guns so awkwardly. It was clear that they had never really used them, never really trained on them. It's the most awkward looking thing I've ever seen in my life. So people have taken that photograph. And remember, the McCloskeys were guests of honor, keynote speakers at the Republican National Convention in 2020. So some people put on gave it to Grok and had Grok animate it. So they've got these masked ICE agents with their balaclavas attack the two of them, knock them to the ground, take their guns, and start beating them. And they did the same thing with Kyle Rittenhouse, okay, who also took a gun to a protest and actually used it. And I'm not criticizing him for defending himself. But they have the masked ICE agents come and knock him to the ground, beat him, and take his gun away, that type of thing. And then they said, if you don't stand up for the rights of other people, it's going to happen to you. That is exactly the issue. And I think some people saw that is where the militarized federal police of Donald Trump are headed. That's exactly where it is headed. They are anti-Second Amendment. Federal government has always been about that. So Trump said, oh, I don't like any shooting. I don't like it. But when somebody goes to a protest and he's got a gun, all right, stop right there. Stop right there. You just jumped the shark. Just jumped the shark. As we point out, you know, who is the aggressor in all this stuff? You tell me.
Whoa!
This is somebody filming this, sitting in the car where all this stuff happened. You tell me who the aggressor is. We've seen this from the other angle. That guy grabbing, beating people, spraying them in the face, even if they're just standing there. Pushing that woman down and shoving her probably about 10 feet. She fell into the snow. And as I pointed out, if Alex Pretty wanted to have a fight, he's got a gun, but he was also, if he just wanted to have a fight, he was standing to the side of this guy when he shoved that woman. Instead, what Alex Pretty did was he stood in front of this aggressive, needlessly aggressive ICE agent who, hey, I've been told I can do anything I want by Kristi Noem and Greg Bomino and Donald Trump. So he stood in front of him. I mean, if you wanted to fight this guy, you know, you're going to give up the advantage of being able to push him from the side when he's not paying attention to him. You're going to stand in front of him. He was standing up to a bully that can, that sprayed him in the face, sprayed other people in the face and eventually killed him. That's what we're talking about here, folks. Trump again dodged the question on whether or not the Border Patrol agent did the right thing and the murder of Pretty. Said the administration is reviewing everything. No, the administration is not going to review anything. We've already seen J.D. Vance say they've got absolute immunity. So if they got absolute immunity, why would you waste the time? And they have said that over and over again. Again, it's like the Epstein documents, the COVID inquiries, the JFK Commission, the 9/11 Commission. They never investigate any of this stuff, especially if they know they committed the crime. Trump declined to answer two times when a Wall Street Journal reporter asked him if the Border Patrol agent who shot and killed Pretty did the right thing. Of course he would say that. He'd avoid it. Kristi Noem said that agents fired defensive shots at Pretty because they feared for their lives. Well, you know, Robert Barnes has been pretty good about that. I was really surprised, you know, because usually he hangs around Alex, and Alex has gone... Alex Jones has gone full on, 100% justified. And, of course, he didn't have anything that he could tell you that was justified. Robert Barnes just simply said they'd taken the gun from him. They shot him in the back. It's just that simple, folks. Jake Tapper responded to Kristi Noem when she said, well, he fired defensive shots. He says he gave her a video of the shooting. He says, is that what you see? And then you had Bill Malugan again at Fox News saying, since yesterday's deadly shooting in Minnesota, I've talked to more than half a dozen federal sources involved in immigration enforcement, including several in senior positions who all tell me that they have grown increasingly uneasy and frustrated with some of the claims and narratives of DHS. Kristi Noem, in particular. And, of course, people like Pee Wee German, Stephen Miller, who immediately called him terrorist and spun it his own way. The Wall Street Journal's headline says, Miller and Noem dig in on immigration tactics, but political reckoning is coming. Democrats' demands on Homeland Security might bring a shutdown. And even within the Republican Party, there's pushback against it. And especially with the people who are pro-Second Amendment. And I'm not talking about the NRA. They just want power. They've sold out, just like The March for Life people have sold out. After the Trump administration restored tens of millions of dollars in funding for abortion to Planned Parenthood, quietly, without any announcement, it took a while for people to realize what happened. Some people thought, well, why did the ACLU drop their lawsuit here? Oh, now I see what's happened. And so after they did that, and after it went public, 3 days later, the March for Life people extended an invitation to J.D. Vance to be the keynote speaker. The people, the administration that just restored the money to Planned Parenthood to kill babies, going to make them the keynote speaker. The March for Life people are no better than the National Rifle Association.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
So again, new angle shows the federal agent clapping after Alex Pretty killed at the ICE protest. I showed that clip to you. Christy Noem says, I don't know any peaceful protester that shows up with a gun and ammunition rather than a sign. I said it before, I'll say it again. I've been at many demonstrations, and so a fellow reporter's been at demonstrations where people are carrying signs. They got attacked, they got kettled, they got arrested. Yeah, Rob Dew got kettled and arrested and tear gassed at an event that was a peaceful protest with signs. He actually got some good compensation in a lawsuit for them doing that. And he should have. But, you know, when you go to the rally like the one at the Alamo, or you go to the Bundy Ranch standoff, those are peaceful. Yeah, the Bundy Ranch standoff was right at the brink. You had these BLM agents who were scared to death, and several of the people there in the audience, especially one guy used to be in law enforcement, said, they're going to shoot. You know, they were like, you know, yelling threats through the bullhorn and, you know, going full Barney Fife on us. And it was quite a possibility that they could shoot. However, they didn't. Why? Why didn't they? Because there were a lot of other people that had guns as well. And if you kick that off, it was on. They weren't going to get out of there alive. Mutual assured destruction, folks. That's the way it needs to go. That's how you have a peaceful protest. That's how you have a country that is free. You have an armed citizenry. And that means that you've got an armed citizenry that peacefully protests. Or you're not going to have peaceful protests. I've seen over and over again, when only the cops have the guns, the protests are not peaceful. They start beating and shoving people. They start shooting people in the face with tear gas, and people are going to shove them back. And then they're going to get hurt. But when everybody's carrying guns, it's polite for obvious reasons. I'm all for everybody carrying guns and openly doing it. And if you have enough people doing it, it works. Let's take a break here. There's other things I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about this all the time, every day. Let's go over some of the comments here, Travis.
Yeah, we've got Epstein Island says, imagine shooting a man 10 times in the back and clapping after it's over.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Shelley A. says, they already nullified the amendments years ago. They injected half the world with genetic engineering shots. You have no rights in their eyes.
That's right, your cattle. Your cattle. And the people who are their soldiers and their police officers, they don't have respect for you either. Understand that.
Guard Goldsmith says, that is why Trump and others are pushing federal immigration policing as a way to unconstitutionally enter the states to further crush the 10th Amendment and Article 4, Section 4.
Yeah, that really is the issue. They really do want to have this confrontation. That's why they're putting thousands of ICE agents. That's why he wants to deploy the military. That's why you've got people like Tim Pool. Do the insurrection act. Tommy Lauren at Fox News. They really want to kick off a civil war, and if they can't kick off a civil war, at least they can destroy completely the 10th Amendment and these different the division of power that is legitimately there.
Yeah, I've heard Tim Pool called Tim Pool the Dim Fool or Beanie Baby.
Beanie Baby, that's a good one.
Yeah. Stealth Patriot says, I never thought I would see a day when so-called conservatives would cheer on the police state who are blatantly violating the Constitution and criticize people who exercise their right to bear arms.
Yeah. I never thought I would see that at InfoWars, for example. I mean, Alex, everything he was saying was hardcore, 180 degrees opposite of what he's saying now. And I put up something about the ICE agents and things that they were doing. I had, what's that guy? Is it Jay Dreyer? Is that his name?
There's a guy named Jay Dyer.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, his response to me was, okay, boomer. I tell you what, Jay, after you learn something, we can have a discussion. You don't know anything. Nothing at all. If you're going to follow through this stuff, you have no idea where this is going to lead. You know nothing. Nothing. No history. No law. Nothing. You're cheering this. Shame on you, baby. Beanie Baby, the rest of these people would call, you know, the okay boomer stuff. I don't care. I'm not, you know, it's I've been around long enough to understand what you don't understand, Jay. That's the bottom line.
Nathan Bedford Forrest, 1865, says Reagan started this mess when he signed the first amnesty bill in 1983. I remember it and where I was when I heard it. I was a California native since 57. The floodgates opened up after that. Reagan was a true traitor to conservative values on almost every plank of a conservative platform. He betrayed it.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, Ron Paul was an early Reagan supporter, and Reagan was great when it came to speeches, obviously, speeches about conservatism. And when he became president, Ron Paul strongly opposed everything he did. He blew up the deficit. He enacted gun control. It was more important to him that his press secretary got shot than to defend the Second Amendment. He betrayed conservative principles everywhere. And, of course, you know, after you find out what happened and the fact that Bill Casey, one of the founders of the CIA, was basically his handler, his campaign manager, that Bill Casey had set up not only Iran-Contra scandal, but Bill Casey had gone to Iran and told them, don't release the hostages until Reagan is sworn in. And if you do that, we will sell you the parts for the planes that we sold you a long time ago. And then they took that money and they used it for a secret war in Central America. And after that, we had a crack cocaine epidemic that was created by these same people. It was disgusting to see what he had done. But he was a great politician. You have no doubt about that. I mean, the guy, straight out of Central Casting. And you know, Reagan was playing a very different character, a character that was likable and affable. Trump is playing a character for our times, a character that thrives on conflict and fighting. He is the professional wrestling character rather than the guy who is talking about mule team days or whatever it was that Reagan had. Borax commercials. He was the cowboy who was talking about our history. That's the kind of character he played. Just look at where we are right now. We can't even have a decent actor in the White House. At least Reagan could act, and he had a likable character. Can't say the same thing about this guy. Well, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to kind of tone this down. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on with gold and silver. Over the weekend, I got away from all this stuff. Didn't want to hear it because it gets me upset. And I focused on putting together audio and a video of a song that I wrote about 30-something years ago. It was back in the mid-1990s, I guess, or early 1990s, and something we used to do as part of our home Bible study with the people that would come there. And you'll probably recognize the tune. And if you're a Christian, you'll probably recognize the lyrics from Isaiah 55.
As the rain and the snow falls down from the heavens and waters the earth and seed, so the words of my mouth will not return empty, but do what I purpose and lead you in peace. Come to me, all you who thirst. Come and drink the living water. Let those without money still purchase and drink. Listen carefully to me, that your soul may live forever. Your soul will delight in what I have to give. As the rain and the snow falls down from the heavens and waters the earth and sea, thoughts are not yours.
listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
That's right, boys and girls. There's a post-election sale on silver and gold. Trump euphoria has caused a dip in silver and gold. And it's time to buy some metals with fiat dollars before they come to their sense. Is go to davidknight.gold to get in touch with the wise wolf himself, Tony Arterburn. He knows where to look to find silver and gold.
Yeah, and that may be more difficult to find now. It's, things have really gotten crazy. Tony's trying to operate in an economy that is suffering hyperinflation, gold and silver. That commercial has aged pretty well, hasn't it, Travis? Well, another day, another high. It was just at the end of the week last week that, I checked the price of gold and it was like $4,800. And then I looked yesterday and it's like, it blew past $5,100. I mean, it's not just an all-time high. It's just really accelerating. And of course, silver, I think got up to $110 an ounce. It's really amazing before people took some, profits and it went back down to 100. What is going on with this? Well, in a word, Trump. It is thriving on the weaponization of the dollar and the U.S. financial system, that began with Biden, and Trump is continuing it, putting it on steroids. And of course, Trump has created all kinds of conflict. I mean, even going to war with NATO over Greenland. And so when you look at that, you look at the unrest, the uncertainty, and the massive spending. He's stepping on the gas again. You know, he changed the slope of the cumulative debt when he was president back in 2020 with all the COVID nonsense. And he's doing it again now. Fresh all-time highs. Crossing $5,100 an ounce on Monday, extending its record-breaking run as investors seek the safety of gold amid rising geopolitical tensions and global fiscal risks. This is CNBC, as a matter of fact. You got CNBC talking about it, CBS talking about it. This is mainstream media talking about it, which says that this is going to get the retail trade fired up to jump into this. Prior to this, it's pretty much been people who realized what was happening to the financial system and the central banks and others who were driving this. Now, if they bring in the retail trade, it's really going to squeeze it up, isn't it? So spot gold prices gained 2.5% before slightly paring gains of the final trade, stopping at 5,086. I remember just a couple of months ago, you had most of the banks were saying, well, you know, we'll probably get to $4,500 sometime in the first quarter of 2026. I said, I think that is way too conservative. And of course, it didn't last very long before it blew through those. Silver also rallied, prices jumping nearly 5%, 4.9%, to $107.90 per ounce. And it was also benefiting from higher industrial demand because we have gone for 6 years without, in terms of silver deficit, consuming more silver than is being produced. So again, you've got some of these organizations like Union Bancaire, said that they have a target price of $5,200 per ounce by the end of the year. What is going to change that would stop the rise of gold? Ask yourself that. Why would it only rise $100 for the rest of the year with all the chaos that is here when it went up $300 just over the weekend? It's crazy. Goldman Sachs recently lifted its December 2026 gold price forecast to $5,400 an ounce, up from a very conservative $4,900 that blew through that $4,900 level. So again, it is the frantic safe haven demand, and everything that Trump is doing is pouring gasoline on the fire. It is, it's amazing to look at it, but at least there is a silver lining in all this stuff and a gold lining as well. Prices have already risen about 18% from the first of the year for gold, and even more than that for silver. One of the things that happened, of course, that Trump did is on Saturday after he got back from Davos, he was angry about what Mark Carney, the globalist central banker. This guy was head of the Bank of, you know, Central Bank of Canada as well as the Bank of England. That's kind of an unusual feat. It tells you what a dyed-in-the-wool globalist he is. But nevertheless, he got Trump very upset because he was talking about doing a trade deal with China. And Trump and Bessent have said that, well, if they have a trade deal with China, then that's going to shut down our tariffs because we can't control there. Not going to be able to control any of this stuff. This is an illusion. This is this tariff war that Trump has gotten into is as futile and as stupid as the drug war. You can't restrict trade with threatening people. I mean, we've got 50 years of that to prove it. And of course, you can add in the alcohol prohibition stuff to prove it as well. And these price controls and sanctions and stuff never work. Never work, especially on foreign countries. It is, they are jousting at windmills if they think this is going to work. And so analysts have said that gold has more room to climb this year, potentially going to $6,000 on mounting global tensions and strong demand from central banks, as well as now consumers. Because again, well, this is Newsmax, as I said, CNBC, CBS, Newsmax. These are not, you know, the trade papers that typically cover gold and silver. This is mainstream media now paying attention. I said it was going to happen after it hit 5,000. I said, you watch. Everybody's going to be talking about it. And you watch what happens when Trump takes control of the Federal Reserve. Whether he does it unilaterally himself or he's got some puppet in there like Pam Bondi or Cash Patel who does whatever he wants. It's going to be everything he's going to do in terms of quantitative easing and lowering interest rates. And all this, it's going to really be pouring gasoline on this fire that is happening there. So again, mainstream media is now paying a lot of attention to this stuff. But it's not just de-dollarization and global debt. It's also de-fiatization, I guess we could say, right? This is a move away from fiat issues. Spot silver went up to, this one says higher. The other one said $107.90. This one says $110.11 an ounce and was up almost 6%. Silver climbed above 100 for the first time on Friday, building on its record 147% rise last year. So again, they had slightly different figures, but it is astounding. This is one of the most interesting things I saw about gold and silver. This is an article that came out on Friday before this recent shot in the arm because of Trump's threats of 100% tariffs on Canada. Why do we need that? I mean, come on, seriously. You got Jack Posobiec goes to the border to try to make a case why we need to have a militarized border with Canada now after all these years. What's the matter with these people? The lies about fentanyl and all the rest of this stuff. And again, it's the arbitrary, capricious, on-again, off-again tariffs that Trump does all the time. And I think it's – hopefully the Supreme Court's going to shut this thing down. I think it really doesn't help his case at all to illustrate why we don't want one person unilaterally changing tariff rates. He does it every day. He's changing something. And radical swings, and it's hurting American corporations, and it's hurting American consumers as well. It's insane what he's doing. Hopefully the Supreme Court will shut it down. Anyway, the man who bought $1 billion in physical silver before the rally. Wouldn't you like to have had that trade, right? So again, Goldman Sachs, head of commodities, noted, said there's clearly hot money that is involved. But first and foremost, gold is a central bank trade. It is a slow erosion of the dollar's exorbitant privilege rather than a sudden loss of confidence. That's what's really happening. So if you go back and you look at what Warren Buffett did in the late 1990s, he bet on silver, got 129.7 million ounces of physical silver, about 4,000 metric tons, just before the dot-com bubble crash. And so this guy is basically doing – David Bateman, he's the founder of a company called Entrada. I didn't look that up to see what they do. Anyway, he revealed on X that he had purchased close to $1 billion in precious metals over the past 6 months. He told his followers on X that he bought 1.5% of the annual global silver supply, about 12 million ounces. It's a bigger buy than what Warren Buffett did before the dot-com crash.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
And listen to the reasons that he gave for this. This is what I found to be interesting. Because, folks, this is the same thing that Tony Arterman and I have been telling you for a couple of years. Number one, he said the global monetary system is about to collapse. It is the great reset. It is the base end game that we're here at. Number two, he said we've got the biggest credit bubble in history. $300 trillion. And of course, $40 trillion of that is here in America. He said that is going to pop soon. He said there's no way the U.S. can refinance its, and at the time he wrote this, $28 trillion. That maybe that was a mistake because he didn't make this trade that long ago. It might have been $38 trillion. There's no way the U.S. can refinance its deficit and maturing treasuries in the next 4 years without an obscene amount of printing. All right, you got that? Trump's tariffs are hastening the collapse. And he said, it's by design. Trump is part of the Great Reset crowd at Davos. If you didn't see that, you're not paying attention. But it was pretty clearly on display. It was as much on display as these ICE killing videos that are out there. A lot of people refuse to see it because they come in with blinders and preconceptions. But Trump is a globalist, and he is enacting the Great Reset by design in the same way that he kicked off predictive programming for universal basic income with the COVID lockdowns and things like that, and put us on an accelerated path to disaster financially. He says also gold and silver are the only meaningful life raft. And we're talking about financial. The only real life raft is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's talking about things of this world. He says, and physical possession of it is everything. He said the whole world right now is a sophisticated game of musical chairs. The chairs are precious metals. Crypto, he said, is a psyop. Those who purchase it will have no chair when the music stops. Do you understand that? You need to understand that. Real estate, crypto, stocks, and bonds will all lose significantly compared to precious metals. And finally, he said, the banking system has been meticulously designed to seize your assets to buoy up a collapsing banking sector. You have zero counterparty risk with precious metals. And let me tell you, it's not just the current existing banking system, but everything that Trump did as part of the Genius Act is set up to seize your bank account and your money. That's what they're moving toward. So earlier today, shortly after silver jumped above $100, and that was the end of last weekend, he posted on X, congratulations to everyone on $100 silver. Couldn't have happened to a better group of degenerate, mildly autistic misfits. So I guess that's where we fit here. I don't know. But now it's $110, and it got up to yesterday. We'll see what happens to it. But it's people will take some profits, but the momentum is back for silver. And that's what Kitco, which covers precious metals, that's their headline. Silver at $100. Momentum is king. They said, being wrong is a lesson that the market enjoys teaching repeatedly. And that is, not seeing it continuing up, people getting skittish about it, saying, it's had a big run. I don't know that to keep this up. Well, silver hit a major milestone target of $100 an ounce. Gold reached the $5,000 level. Well, here they say hasn't reached the $5,000 level yet, but the market is looking that way. What a difference a day makes, right? A couple of days. It goes from $4,800 to $5,100 between the times I looked at it. Gold and silver rallied to $100 and $5,000 supported by strong fundamentals. You know, that's why I did that commercial after Trump's election. He'd gone around, he'd curried favor with the crypto crowd because he wanted to make a lot of money. It's exactly the kind of scam that he likes to be a part of. And they came out with their own meme coins and all the rest of this stuff. But the reality was that the things that were driving gold and silver at that time, none of those things were changing. As we said, they're only going to get worse with Trump in office. And they did. They did. And it's only going to get worse in the next year, I'm afraid. That's the one thing that you can do to protect yourself. So, again, breaking $5,000 an ounce, a record price, says CBS, everything that you now need to know. And so they are writing to the retail investor, those of us who not necessarily those of us, because these are people who have not been paying attention, and these are people who don't know what to know about gold as it hits the $5,000 an ounce mark. So now CBS is going to give them a primer about gold, and they don't really get to any of the fundamentals. They say, why is it continuing to break price records? Well, they really don't know. You know, they're looking at this as if it's just some kind of a fad. No, it's part of a worldwide financial reset that is happening. They don't get into that. Should I wait for the price to drop in order to invest in it? Well, they said CBS, if all the aforementioned factors weren't prevalent right now, then waiting for a small price drop to get invested in gold could make sense, but that's not the climate investors are operating in currently. Historically, price drops that do materialize here are relatively small and short-lived, so waiting for those to appear isn't the best way to approach a gold investment right now. In other words, fundamentals have not changed. You know, you're going to have noise, but the trend lines are well established, and nothing fundamental has changed to change those trends. Well, you have an article on Zero Hedge from Rabobank saying what we're experiencing now is not de-dollarization, but de-fiatization. J.P. Morgan once famously remarked that gold is money and everything else is credit. Now, this is the real J.P. Morgan. This is not the corporation that's taken his place. This is not the position of Jamie Dimon. Forgotten during the 1980s and 1990s, this was, as gold's share of central bank reserves steadily declined, and gold prices for most of that period did the same. That period was the most recent era of high financialization, where Hollywood movies like Wall Street, Trading Places, Barbarians at the Gate, even Pretty Women, glorified the swashbuckling lifestyles of financiers. It's reasonably clear that from the data that this period ended with the popping of the dot-com bubble. But the final eulogy was not read until the financial crisis of 2008, when the excesses of high financialization were truly laid bare. All this securitization of real estate and things like that. Now you've got the guy, Larry Fink, who made his fortune off of the 2008 crash and the securitization and all the rest of the stuff. He is now, he made his fortune at BlackRock, and he's now the head of Davos. And he was making speeches about how the future is all about tokenization. The guy who made a fortune off of securitization. That's why physical quotes is king. Don't accept any substitutes, especially from people like Larry Fink. While it's typical to think of the financial crisis as an epic that is ending, gold's share of central bank reserves hit its nadir around the year 2000. That was also the approximate high water mark for the U.S. Treasury bond's share of global reserve assets. Many Western central banks had recently offloaded their holdings at low, low prices in the late 1990s, having been taken in by fashionable ideas such as gold is a barbarous relic. And the creation of the fiat monetary system and the floating exchange rates in 1971 made holding gold a quaint anachronism. Fast forward to today, and gold is trading well above $5,000 an ounce. Silver is trading well above $100 an ounce. And the financial has given way to the material. And the fashionable narrative is now, sell America. Sell dollarization. Trump's abrasive style of foreign policy offends traditional allies, and in seeming support of the sell America narrative, the Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index is down 1.4% year to date, while gold is up 18%. On the other hand of the ledger, we continue to see strong demand at U.S. Treasury auctions, and the SWIFT data. The SWIFT data is the system by which they transfer payments. Shows that the use of the U.S. dollar in international payments is actually increasing, mostly at the expense of the euro. So why is that happening? That's why he says it's not de-dollarization, but it's de-fiatization.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Speaking to the media at Davos, Ray Dalio argued that what we are experiencing is not de-dollarization, but de-fiatization. The flight from fiat currencies in favor of real assets, real money in the form of gold and silver. Ray Dalio pointed out that, quote, in a warlike environment, countries don't want to hold each other's debt for fear of sanctions. For example, what happened with Russia. What we see happening with Iran and so forth and so on. Investors don't want to hold financial claims for fear of debasement through deficit spending by national governments and debt monetization, quantitative easing, in other words. And you're going to see that on steroids when Trump takes control of the Federal Reserve. It is rational to hold neutral money with no counterparty risk, no risk of debasement, and less scope for the imposition of capital controls. The last sellers of scale, that is, the central banks, became the first buyers of scale in 2024 and 2025. But the trade is now broadened out to other buyers. And it looks like it's going to broaden out to consumers now in the general market because of the publicity that is being given because they broke $100 and $5,000. Those are real psychological issues with that. The debasement of fiat currencies is now easy to spot. Aside from gold and silver regularly resetting all-time highs, the Bloomberg Commodity Index has surged to sit at its highest level since mid-2022. Crude prices have risen for the last 5 weeks straight. Natural gas prices, listen to this, have gone up by 65% year-to-date. You're going to see power bills going up. There's going to be a lot of inflation like that. And, you know, that's one of the interesting things. I wonder if the price of power bills is even factored in to the federal government's consumer price index. They have a funny way of excluding very expensive things like insurance or taxes or things like this, power bills and things like that. So I'm not really sure that's factored in. These types of moves signal a scarcity of the material relative to the financial. As Dalio explained, the flip side of a trade imbalance is a capital imbalance. With the U.S., and this is why he says it's not a de-dollarization, but a de-fiatization. With the U.S. running record current account deficits in early 2025, it's a matter of mathematics that foreign investors have to buy U.S. treasuries for that deficit to be financed. For the U.S. to make progress on reducing its trade deficit, as it has recently, it must also make progress on reducing its capital account surplus. That means fewer dollars for the rest of the world who rely on dollars to conduct trade. He says, so are you going to get the Chinese currency into the hands of other countries? How are you going to do that unless China runs a trade deficit? You see, what Trump is doing in terms of trying to stop the trade deficit and paying absolutely no attention to the federal government's budget deficit is exactly the opposite of what he needs to be doing. That is, he's driving this country into the ground financially, just like he did his casinos. It's actually kind of funny if you look at it. I mean, we're going to suffer from this, but it is so amazingly stupid, it's humorous. Anyway, central governments will not return to the gold standard for the same reason the last vestiges of the gold standard were abandoned in the first place. A gold standard constrains government's freedom to engage in deficit spending and to create inflation. So they're not going to go back to a gold standard. But reality is going to catch up to them. It's going to be difficult for us. But folks, the only hope that we have is the collapse of the dollar and the Federal Reserve, because that's what has given the federal government its superpowers in terms of bribing and blackmailing domestically as well as foreign governments. It's the only thing that's going to restrain American power is the collapse of the dollar standard, the collapse of fiatization. Clearly, the world is erecting new barriers to the free movement of goods. And Canadian Prime Minister Carney has become the darling of Davos by delivering a speech articulating the changes in the world order and attempting to rally mid-powers to band together and stand against the great power coercion. Carney was delivering jabs at the U.S., but the credibility of his message may have been diminished somewhat by his actions in signing an agreement with China to reduce Canada's 100% tariff on Chinese electric vehicles in exchange for a reduction in Chinese tariffs on Canadian canola and seafood products. And this outraged the Trump administration. So Trump came up with his 100% tariff on all things Canada. Scott Bessent explained the tariff threat by making it clear that Canada's deal was not acceptable. He said, we have a highly integrated market with Canada. So why did you put tariffs on it in the first place, right? We kept saying that it doesn't make any sense for the U.S. to put tariffs on Canada. He said, goods cross the border sometimes six times during the manufacturing process. When we talked about this, I said, this is like a VAT tax, the tariff, because every time it's crossing the border back and forth, Trump is going to put a tariff on it. That makes absolutely no sense. That doesn't help our manufacturers at all. Anyway, so he goes, they can cross the border six times during the manufacturing process. We can't let Canada become an opening that the Chinese pour their cheap goods into the United States. I tell you, Bessent and Trump have lost the plot, folks. They've completely lost it. The geostrategic competition between China and the U.S. continues to be prosecuted as a trade war, but investors may do well to heed Dalio's warning that punishment in the form of a global capital war is on the horizon. Everywhere you look, Trump wants war. War in terms of financial issues, real wars, domestically and foreign. It truly is amazing, and that's one of the reasons why gold and silver are doing so well. The gold rally is fundamentally about trust. That's the issue. People are losing trust in America, and rightfully so. And that's why yet another organization, group of analysts are saying $6,000 gold. Our gold, says Germany, is no longer safe in the Federal Reserve's vaults. German lawmakers and economists are renewing their calls to repatriate sovereign gold. What about all that stuff about auditing Fort Knox? I mean, do Americans believe that our gold is still there? Do Americans believe that our gold is safe in the vaults of the Federal Reserve somewhere? In the wake of Trump's Davos showdown with Europe over Greenland, German lawmakers and leading economists are once again calling for the country to get its billions in gold reserves out of the United States, citing the recent rupture and the risky behavior of the Trump administration. Given the current geopolitical situation, it seems risky to keep our gold in the U.S., said a leading economist and former head of Bundesbank, head of research, Emmanuel Munk, told the German press on Friday. He said, in the interest of greater strategic independence from the U.S., the Bundesbank would therefore be well advised to consider repatriating the gold. Germany has 3,300 tons in total sovereign gold reserves, second only to the 8,000 tons held by the U.S. But about 37% of German reserves are stored at the Federal Reserve in New York. The reality is that nobody really knows what any of these central banks have in terms of gold. They don't get audited, and they also only declare certain purchases. As Tony has said many times, a lot of people believe that China's got way more gold than it talks about. Personally, they mine gold. They don't count that. They just put it into their central bank. Trump is unpredictable, say the Germans. He says this German economist, and they do everything to generate conflict. That's why our gold is no longer safe in the Federal Reserve's vaults. What happens if the Greenland provocation continues, he said. And then you have the finance spokesperson for the opposition party of the Green Party in Germany's parliament has called for the gold to be brought back as well. So you got a couple of different political parties that are calling for the repatriation of the gold. Again, this all has to do with the chaos of Trump. Chaos has consequences, folks. Bovino says, don't call me a Gestapo or I'll show you what a Gestapo is like, right? Well, that's the situation with Trump. The reelection of Trump and the aggressive, unpredictable international policies that he's championed have stacked anxiety, stoked it rather, with Germany's reserves throughout the last year. Concerns that the U.S. is no longer a reliable partner. Why would they think that? I mean, this, he's only making crazy statements about everything and attacking everybody. So beginning in 2013, they started talking about bringing it back. But again, Bank of America has had the has the highest estimation of any of these conservative institutions. Bank of America sees gold price hitting $6,000 an ounce by spring of this year. Wait a minute, that's just a couple of months from now. Yeah, that, and why do they say that? They said they've got the most aggressive price forecast of any major institution. They said they based their projection on a falling supply of gold. That gold is not keeping up with demand, as well as rising costs in the gold sector. The 13 major North American gold miners produced 19 million ounces this year, they said. And that is down 2% from 2025. So because of that, that's yet another thing that they've added to the equation. So they think that gold is going to go up to 6,000 in just a couple of months, spring of 2026. So again, we have seen these projections for most of these banks have been extremely conservative. And so now they're talking about $6,000 an ounce from Bank of America. One forecaster said it would take a 55% increase in investment demand to drive gold prices to $8,000 an ounce next year. But we'll see what happens with it. It absolutely is crazy what is happening right now. And central banks, they said the ideal situation is for central banks on average to have 30% of reserves in gold right now. On average, they're about half of that. So it doesn't look like the central bank buying is going to stop anytime soon either. And as RT says, the monetary system is broken and gold knows why.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the healthcare and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
But I just, before I leave this, I just want to say one thing about stablecoins. This is, first we see this article on Zero Hedge in praise of stablecoins, a quiet revolution in finance. And I would say, or is it a scam? With geopolitics taking center stage, the seismic tremors of stablecoin activity go largely unnoticed. Stablecoins sit at a fascinating intersection of finance and technology. I would say of finance and the technocracy. And so you've got fiat-backed stablecoins they want to talk about dominating the market. And as we said before, it's not a coin, right? It's a crypto token. So stablecoins are not a coin. And if they're based on the U.S. dollar, they're not stable. So if it starts out, the very name is a lie. They point out the Genius Act, proclaimed by Trump to have been named after himself, was signed into law July 2025, created a federal framework for stablecoins. The act prohibits stablecoin issuers from paying interest directly to holders, but there are ways around that. And if you want to know what a criminal genius Trump is, just take a look at this. While you slept, Tether, and again, this is the company that is so closely, you know, this is Lucky Lutnick's company, right? Tether. It just obliterated $182 million. Poof, gone, right?
I forget what it is, but a sizable portion, a noticeable percentage of all the money in the world runs through Tether.
Yeah, yeah. And they can just make it disappear. They can flush your bank account and your cash down the memory hole. In the same way that Google can make you disappear if you're a journalist that they don't like. In the blink of an eye, $182 million worth of Tether simply ceased to function. The funds weren't stolen by a hacker in a hoodie. They weren't lost in a tragic boating accident involving a misplaced private key. But they were instead obliterated by a few keystrokes from a centralized administrator acting on a voluntary request from law enforcement. There was no public warrant, no judge's signature. Certainly no due process for the owners of those five wallets. Just like that, nearly a quarter of $1 billion was rendered dust, proving once and for all that if your money requires permission to spend it, it was never really your money to begin with. Again, this is the scam that is at the center of Donald Trump's purposely designed great reset, financial reset. They want to switch you into stablecoin. People caught on to the central bank digital currency scam, so they renamed it. And they talked about all the different features, about how it's going to be so easy to clear these transactions and everything. But they made sure that they had the ability to do this, to shut down your account, just like they want to shut down your car. Do you understand what these people are about? This wasn't a glitch. Rather, it was a feature that had been meticulously crafted by the very people claiming to protect investors. Tether's decision to freeze these assets wasn't an anomaly, but the perfectly functioning result of their voluntary wallet freezing policy, a draconian measure that they rolled out in December of 2023. They have even formalized this tyranny through the T3 Financial Crime Unit, a dystopian public-private partnership. The unholy trinity exists for one purpose, to proactively identify and to freeze funds before a crime is even proven in court. How many times have we seen this, right? This is the civil asset forfeiture applied to your bank account. We're not going to find you guilty. We just take the cash and do the due process later, maybe, if we ever get around to it, right? We take the gun, we take the house, we take everything. You know, Trump is the perfect embodiment, all of his policies, the perfect embodiment of this eradication of due process. You know, we kill the people in the boats. We don't know who they are. We just, you know, we'll figure it out later. We'll circle back and kill the people who are shipwrecked. We'll take your car. We'll charge the car with a crime. This is something that's been going on for a very long time. It didn't start with Trump, but Trump is metastasizing this on steroids. So this has been around for a long time, civil asset forfeiture, and also the public-private partnership aspect. Well, I'm not censoring you as the government. The government is prohibited from censorship. Try to tell that to Trump, right? He thinks he can take licenses and shut people down. That's how bad he is. But the other guy is a little bit more clever than that. Oh, we're not going to directly go against the First Amendment. Instead, what we will do is we'll use corporations. We do business with these corporations, and they're going to do what we want to do so that they can have more business with us. It's going to be bribery and blackmail. It's the same thing that Trump did with COVID. He bribed and blackmailed hospitals, corporations. Biden did it as well. If you got contracts with the government, Biden said, you're going to get all your employees vaccinated or fired, or we're going to take away your contracts. And so that's the kind of thing that Trump was doing with the governors, both Democrat and Republican. And so, as they point out in this Free Thought Project article here, it said this legislation and the Genius Act that was there was a Trojan horse for financial martial law. That's what it is. Under the guise of consumer protection, the Genius Act of Trump mandated technical capability to freeze and seize assets. Remember that, freeze and seize. That's what these people are about. While the Justice Department's high fives Tether for freezing $182 million without a warrant, the Pentagon continues to fail audit after audit. They're unable to account for trillions of taxpayer dollars that vanish into the black hole of the military-industrial complex. They also are, not only is the government the largest money launderer and arms dealer on the planet, but they're also the biggest drug dealer while they create their drug war. That is the criminality and the hypocrisy of the American government. The infrastructure for a digital prison has been built. It has been codified by the Genius Act, and it has been tested by Larry Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary's Tether. They can and will turn off your money if you step out of line. The time to opt out of this system is now, before the next freeze targets you. Freedom is not something that will be given to us by politicians in Washington. It is something that we must take by using the tools that make tyranny obsolete. Again, you know, Tony has been spot on with all this stuff. You can get to Wise Wolf, Tony Arterburn's business, where you can buy gold and silver. You can put it in your, put your IRA into this. You can also start to accumulate it on a regular basis. Wolfpack is something that is unique to what Tony does. And, of course, he can handle gold or silver transactions of any size that you want. So you can take physical possession of it. And, again, if you go to davidknight.gold, that'll let him know that you're coming from us. And that'll take you to Tony Arterburn at Wise Wolf. We're going to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, I'm almost out of time, but I want to cover what Trump is doing with his Peace Board, because I think that is very, very important in terms of understanding who this guy is. And it truly is amazing if you look at him as the founding father of the technocracy that is trying to unravel the Constitution and our system of government that we currently have. We'll be right back, folks.
Thank you. Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back. And I want to talk about Trump's border piece. It is very telling. It's an excellent article at the New American from Veronica Kirilenko, I think is we pronounce her last name. She has done excellent research on several things, and she's not afraid to criticize Trump when he needs to be criticized. And this is a very eye-opening article. It turns out that what Trump did, this is a charter that basically defines his character and his perspective on governance. It's basically a dictatorship.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Before we get into it, we got a couple of things we do want to respond to.
That's right. Bob of Atlantis gifted a sub on Rumble, so I want to say thank you to Bob. We really do appreciate it. And Guard Goldsmith says, Trump last week announced that he was pumping another $200 billion into Fannie and Freddie to have them buy bundled mortgages.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to play financial tricks rather than fixing the fundamental problems. Right.
He also says, Trump got the EU to harm their own currency and block Russian energy. Harm European productivity to help make the dollar relatively less ugly compared to the euro and the pound.
Yeah, yeah. It's always about the optics, isn't it? I want to thank people who have sent us some contributions by mail. And I haven't updated the gas gauge yet. But I do want to thank a very generous contribution from Eileen K. Thank you very much. And Tom and Nancy K. Thank you also very much. Always there and strong supporters. Thank you so much. And I'm Marty. Thank you, Marty. Appreciate that. Stephanie K, David and Deborah W, David and Anne Marie N. And then we have several Aarons. We've got Aaron W in Oregon and Aaron W in Connecticut. And then we have an Aaron F in Oregon. So thank you, Aarons. Thank you, all of you. And I really do appreciate your support. We're getting close to the end of the month. I need to take a look at where the gas gauge is, but thank you so much. Let's take a look, though, at what Trump is doing with his Board of Peace. I joked that Peggy Noonan, who was a speechwriter for Ronald Reagan. She works for the Wall Street Journal now. She said, this guy just can't stand peace and quiet. Well, Peggy, that's not what this is about. conflict and war and chaos and all that. This is how he controls the narrative. And he governs by declaring emergencies. He tries to create an emergency and then say, well, because there's an emergency, I'm going to do executive orders to govern. It's all a tactic. That's what it's not just that he wants to make things interesting for himself. No, not at all. So at the World Economic Forum in Davos, he unveiled his new international organization, the Peace Board, or the Board of Peace, I should say. I could spell that as B-O-R-E-D. Look, folks, he is a globalist. As I pointed out last week, he'll criticize people. He criticizes everybody, even people he likes, even people he hires again. But they gave him a standing ovation. You don't get brought in as a keynote speaker, and you don't get a standing ovation unless they know what this guy is about. And it was 5 years ago that he kicked off this COVID nonsense and created the bioweapon right after he went to Davos. You know, we've had Bilderberg for the longest time. Kissinger ruled there. Everybody understood what that guy was about. But when you see the same thing being done by Trump and by his allies, we pretend that that's not what's happening. Truly is amazing. You know, you had Kissinger while he's there. He had his lieutenant, Steve Pachinik, who was major contributor at InfoWars. He was the guy who was heavily involved in Operation Gladio. It was a false flag NATO attack. Nevertheless, let's move on here. The declaration rests on clearly unconstitutional grounds. Under the Constitution, international treaties require the consent of two-thirds of the Senate. But Trump is just going to ratify this himself, you know, in the same way that Obama and John Kerry claimed that they ratified the 2015 Paris Climate Accord. Well, we'll just self-ratify it, right? So now Trump is doing the same thing. That's one of the reasons why he didn't pull out of it, folks, because he wanted that ability to just unilaterally get into a treaty. That's why they never call out the other guy. That's why this whataboutism is a bunch of nonsense. Whenever you criticize somebody who's Republican or you criticize Trump for violating the law, the Republicans will say, yeah, but what about the Democrats who did that as well? It's like, yeah, the Republicans will cement that in when the Democrats do it. And the Democrats did the same thing for the Republicans. So there has been no vote about this. Moreover, says the New American, the charter designates Trump as chairman of the new international body, a role not among the powers enumerated to the presidency under the Constitution. The charter itself falls into an ambiguous story. Its full text was not released by the White House or the State Department. Instead, it was published by the Times of Israel. Isn't that interesting? Which said it obtained and verified the document after it was circulated privately to invited leaders. The White House announcement left little doubt about its intent. It explicitly tied the Board of Peace to President Trump's vision of transforming Gaza. However, the interesting thing about this is that the text...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Never references Gaza. Isn't that interesting? Like everything else that Trump does. Yeah, this is about Gaza, except it doesn't say anything at all about Gaza. It is a broad document that involves a lot of things. And of course, it can be used for Gaza without mentioning Gaza. It can be used for a lot of other things without mentioning those other things either. And so I guess, you know, the first there was rumors that Netanyahu didn't like it. Then Netanyahu kind of signed on to it. I guess now we could say we could put up a sign so we got Bibi on board instead of the baby on board things. That he's on board with it because it doesn't really say anything about Gaza or what's going to happen there. It notably makes no mention of Gaza, says the Times of Israel. The U.S. wants the border peace to assist in the resolution of other conflicts around the globe as well. The omission is particularly striking since the mandate of the board approved in November by the Security Council is limited to Gaza and only until the end of 2027. While the sixth point of Trump's original plan focuses on Hamas, the reported charter has no mention of Hamas either. It does not address disarmament in Gaza. It makes no mention of war crime allegations facing either Hamas or Israel. And it doesn't limit the board's scope geographically or politically. In other words, this is a new international organization, but Trump is not a globalist. Just keep repeating that self to you. Keep repeating that to yourself. Instead, the preamble frames the board as an alternative to existing institutions. It speaks of the need for the courage to depart from approaches and institutions that have too often failed. It also calls for a more nimble, effective international peace-building body. The contradiction is now impossible to ignore. Public messaging casts this board as a Gaza focus. But the legal text, if authentic, leaves the door open to a global mandate. So as we see all the time, Trump says it's about one thing when it's actually about something completely different. You know, with the agreement that they had down in Panama, a friend of mine has... his family has been involved. He's American, but his family has been involved with businesses down in Panama. And he said it created quite a stir. Of course, it was never reported here in America. Created quite a stir that they came up with an agreement. And the Trump administration, the White House, said the agreement was one thing, whereas if you look at the actual Spanish text versus the English text, they said completely different things. And then after the Panamanian papers pointed that out, you've got a Spanish version of this agreement and you've got an English version of this agreement at the White House, and they conflict with each other. They say completely different things. After that was made public by the Panamanian paper, guess what? The U.S. document disappeared. We're not dealing with honest people here, folks. They are criminals. So let's talk about the mission. The charter opens with a broad mission statement. The Board of Peace is an international organization that seeks to promote stability, restore dependable, lawful governance, and secure enduring peace in areas that are threatened by conflict. Does that sound like Trump? Does it sound like anybody but Trump? You know, could be doing that, but certainly that is in conflict to everything that Trump has been doing. You're saying that it is there to promote stability? To restore dependable, lawful governance? Is Trump about any of that stuff? To ensure peace in areas that are threatened by conflict? No, he threatens conflicts in areas that are peaceful. Greenland, Canada, so forth. It adds that the board will undertake, quote, peace-building functions in accordance with international law. He doesn't care anything about international law. You know, they violate the Geneva Convention in Venezuela and everything else. Again, we're going to kill suspects on site, and then we'll circle back and murder those that are shipwrecked. The claim to secure enduring peace sits uneasily alongside heavy-handed foreign policy of the Trump administration, says New American. Absolutely right. And then you take a look at how it is structured. And this is why I say it's important to take a look at this. We're going to run over, we already have run over time, but we're going to go as long as it takes for me to finish this. And it won't be that long, but this needs to be focused on, because look at how this thing is structured. And you can see Trump's vision of government. He doesn't care a whit about the Constitution. He doesn't care a whit about legal structures here or internationally. Instead, this is how he wants to run things. His Board of Peace is a reflection of the guy who created this whole thing and how he views governance. So you have the chairman. The charter defines the Board of Peace as a fully fledged international organization with international legal personality. It can enter contracts. It can acquire and dispose of property. It can open bank accounts, receive public and private funds, and it can employ staff. It's got basically everything except an army here. But Trump is a globalist, and he wants to be a global king, a Caesar. At the center of this structure sits a single office. Article 3 says, Donald J. Trump shall serve as inaugural chairman of the Board of Peace, and he shall separately serve as inaugural representative of the U.S. So, again, you've got a dictator at the very center of this. It's only got a single office, and that is the chairman. Everything revolves around the chairman. He holds final approval authority over all major decisions, including budgets, international agreements, the creation of subsidiary entities, and the initiation of peace-building missions. Everything is done by the dictator that he calls a chairman. While member states may vote on proposals, all decisions require the chairman's approval to take effect. In the event of a tie, the chairman casts the deciding votes. In disputes over the meaning or application of the charter, the chairman is explicitly designated as the final authority. He should call himself Chairman Mao. Removal of the chairman is tightly constrained, only following either voluntary resignation or incapacity. Yeah, sounds like his approach to, hey, I'm going to run a third term until I'm dead. I'm going to stay president, right? Only if the executive board votes unanimously can he be removed. And if in such a case, the chairman's pre-designated successor, he will choose a successor, just like a king, just like a Caesar, would immediately assume all duties and authorities of the role. The charter also grants the chairman exclusive authority to create, modify, or dissolve subsidiary bodies. In addition, the chairman is empowered to invite regional economic integration organizations to participate in the board's proceedings. We have seen all of this in the way that Trump governs in America. This is a reflection, a codification of his view of government. If Trump were a founding father instead of a father of the bioweapon, this is what he would produce. This is his founding document for his global technocracy. So how do you get into this and how do you stay in it? Well, membership rules reinforce the board's transactional design. Article 2 restricts membership to states invited by the chairman. Each member state must be represented by its head of state or government. Membership terms are limited to 3 years and may be renewed only at the chairman's discretion. The charter then introduces a key exception. The 3-year membership term shall not apply to member states that give this Board of Peace $1 billion in cash. And so, how is it going to be spent? Where is it going to be? Well, it'll be at the discretion, of course, of the chairman. The charter does not specify how those funds are allocated, administered, or audited. Isn't that convenient? The chairman may terminate a state's membership subject to a potential veto by 2/3 of the remaining members. And this is a very good comment here from the New American. The resulting structure more closely resembles a private club, you know, like Mar-a-Lago, than it does a multilateral institution. It has membership fees, duration, and expulsion, all managed from the top by the chairman, the dictator, if you will.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And then it has an executive board. That's the only thing other than a chairman that it's got here. So the charter creates a second tier of governance beneath the board of member states. It's called the executive board. And this looks very much like Trump's cabinet. As a matter of fact, if you look at the original seven members that he has proposed here, four of them are either cabinet members or closely tied to Trump as sycophants and subordinates for quite some time, you know, like Kushner, Jared Kushner. But you also got Marco Rubio as the number one there. So you have people in Witkoff. So you have people who are friends, people who are on part of his cabinet or have been in the past, four out of the seven. The other three are people like Tony Blair and the president of the World Bank. The other three are Council on Foreign Relations people, right? Dyed-in-the-wool, certified globalist. If you've got Tony Blair as one of your key members, how in the world could anybody see anything other than globalism behind that? He's been one of the worst people in terms of pushing the New World Order and globalism. So, of course, he's one of the seven that are there. So you've got three CFR globalists, like the president of the World Bank and things like that, and Tony Blair. And then you've got four people who have been close associates and sycophants and employees of Donald Trump. It was very much like a cabinet. The executive board is responsible.
It's trite, and I don't like George Carlin, but the quote fits here more than ever. It's a big club and you ain't in it.
That's right.
That's exactly what this is. It's never been more obvious.
That's good, yeah. It startled me when you jumped in there because it's kind of loud. The executive board is responsible for operational oversight, implementation, and day-to-day operation. And again, when you look at the people who are in it, Marco Rubio, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. Witkoff and Kushner are his guys who are going around setting up real estate partnerships for him everywhere as part of this corrupt thing. And Robert Gabriel, who is somebody who was a former Trump speechwriter, somebody who was on Stephen Miller's staff. He's been involved in policy stuff and communications. So there's his four American cabinet members, if you will. And then the other three are Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of the UK, Mark Rowan, CEO of Apollo Global Management. He's got a net worth of between $8 and $10 billion. And Ajay Banga, the president of the World Bank. And all three of those guys are CFR members. So the executive board shall be selected by the chairman and will consist of leaders of global stature. They will serve two-year terms, very much like the cabinet members of Donald Trump. You look at his first term, most of these people are 2 years and out. You know, that's as long as he could stand them. First, he praises them up and down as the greatest thing ever, and then he turns on them after a couple of years and chases them down the street, hurling insults at them. So, again, looks very much like the cabinet members in his first term. So Reuters reported on Thursday that Trump invited about 50 countries to join the Board of Peace. How's he doing on that? Well, it looks like all the major countries are saying no. France, Scandinavia, other Western European governments are very vocal in terms of declining invitations. They are citing concern about the board's mandate, structure, and the potential to be an institution that's going to undercut what they say, established international institutions. Yeah, in the same way that people are saying, you know, Trump is trying to undercut the Federal Reserve. We don't want him to do that. You and I look at the Federal Reserve, and we see nothing but evil. Trump sees an opportunity to wield power. He doesn't want to destroy or reform the Federal Reserve. He wants to be the Federal Reserve. Same thing about the UN. That's what these people are talking about. He doesn't want to destroy the UN. He doesn't want to defund the UN. He wants to be the UN. And so he creates his private club, the Board of Peace. So who is interested in taking this? The White House says they've got about 30 countries that are looking to join. So what kind of countries are joining? Well, countries like Israel and Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, Jordan, Qatar, Egypt, Turkey, Hungary, Monaco. These are client states that are seeking money and seeking Trump's favor that are interested in this. And then you got the real heavy hitters like Morocco, Pakistan, Indonesia, Kosovo, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Paraguay, Vietnam, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Belarus. They're not sending him the best countries, I guess you could say, from Trump's perspective. So the UK, Germany, Italy, 27 countries sitting on the European Commission have not yet committed. Several of them, though, like the French and Scandinavian countries, have told him to get lost, especially because of this Greenland stuff. Russia said it might be willing to participate, provided that Trump would allow them to get their funds unfrozen. They could give him $1 billion to become permanent members. So you unleash those hundreds of billions of dollars that Biden seized, right, is the phrase that they want to do to us through these stable coins. You release some of that stuff, and they'll give him a kickback for his board. How about that? And so we've already got a taste of the tantrums. Trump reportedly withdrew his invitation to Canada because he got angry with Mark Carney at Davos. So 100% tariffs, and you can't join my club. How about that? And so the way it's presented by technocracy.com is Patrick Wood says, Technocrat-in-chief, the monarch of America, the chairman of the Board of Peace. The dark enlightenment tech bros in Washington, D.C., who successfully baited Trump to be the monarch of America, are now cheering, says Patrick Wood at technocracy.com. Now the UN has outlived its usefulness. Trump has thrown them all under the bus by creating the Board of Peace, which will do whatever it wants, quote unquote. That's what Trump said about it. The charter of the Board of Peace was leaked to the Times of Israel, even as the document was being handed out to attendees at the World Economic Forum in Davos. And it is, again, a disgusting view of Trump's view of governance. It's basically a private club that he runs, that he collects money for. Jared Kushner laid out the plan for Gaza. He talked about it as being a technocratic, apolitical committee. And again, you see the White House, as it communicates this, it keeps using the term technocratic. So they said the National Committee for the Administration of Gaza will be headed by former Palestinian Authority Deputy Planning Minister, who the White House in its Friday announcement called a widely respected technocratic leader. And then continued to say he's widely respected for his pragmatic technocratic leadership and his understanding of Gaza's realities there. You know, it was interesting. First time I ever noticed anybody being called a technocrat was when they put in the bankster Mario Draghi. You had Greece back in 2011, had a lot of major deficits that looked like they were going to go bankrupt as a country. Looked like they might exit the euro because of that. So the European Central Bank put pressure on them, and they put in Mario Draghi as the leader, essentially, of Greece. That's the first time I ever noticed Nigel Farage. He got up at the European Parliament. He said, how dare you, and the country that gave us the concept of democracy, overturn their election and put in a technocrat, Mario Draghi, a banker, who's going to run the country. That's the way these guys operate. And that is now becoming kind of standard practice as we look at this. And that is the way this document is set up. And so they're going to turn Gaza into a high-tech smart city complex built on the core principles and governance ideas of the smart cities and the 2030 agenda from the World Economic Forum and the UN. The new World Order will be run by the rulers of the old New Order, like members of the Trilateral Commission. It is technocracy in full bloom. And I got to say, you know, even as we saw this, got this group, mostly conservatives, mostly Republicans, we're talking about this convention of the states, and they just got another state to sign onto it to call for the convention. Now, anything that comes out of that convention, once they get, and they're starting to get pretty close to the number of states that they need to have a constitutional convention, who knows what that's going to be like. Now, supposedly, coming out of that, any amendments to the Constitution would still have to be ratified. Nevertheless, when we look at this whole idea, do you really want these types of people to formally rewrite our government? At least where we are right now, you can call them out as liars, thieves, and oath breakers, because they have to take an oath to the Constitution to get their office. And so at least we have that. That's the only thing that really remains of the Constitution. If these guys get their way, if they have a convention of states, it's going to be people like Donald Trump as one of the people going to write the new documents. You can see in this so-called Board of Peace that he wants to establish a dictatorship with himself or somebody like him calling all the shots. That's exactly the impulse that we see in everything that's being done, not just by Trump, but by the Republican Party in general, and certainly by the Democrats as well. It's a real warning to take a look at what he wants to do with this. Well, we're going to cut it at this point. We've gone over about 18 minutes, but I did want to cover that today. And so we're going to end the program here. Thank you very much for joining us. And Travis, you can play us out here. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates, but now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert. So you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.